Yeah.
Do you want, how is this audio, or do you want a mic?
You sound great.
Okay.
Sounds good. You sound great. Yeah. For this podcast, I really try to keep it as authentic as possible. Mm-hmm. It's not overly produced. It's just real people. I want it to be real people. I listen to a lot of podcasts with agents and it's great information, but it almost seems like unattainable. Like they're so big or they have a team of 40 million people or, it's not something that I could just do tomorrow. And as I'm diving through a lot of your content, right, it's all stuff I do. And so then it's just like, okay, where am I aligning? What's working? And so, one thing I will send you to, did I send you the form?
I didn't get a form.
Okay. Let me send it to you. It's just going to have like all of your social media links, any photos.
Sure.
Cool. Okay. Hi, Becca. Welcome to the show. I'm so excited to have you. I really was attracted to you because you are so aligned with manifestation, with attracting energy, with attracting your dream business. And if it's okay, I'd like to just kind of see where this conversation takes us and how you kind of got here, how you started, and then your kind of journey here. And then I always like to leave with a couple of actionable tips that anybody listening to the podcast can take away, right? It's all good in theory, but if we don't have something we can actually take action on, we can sit in a corner and manifest till we turn blue, but nothing's going to happen. Unless we're actually taking some aligned action. I like that word.
Aligned action. That's what I'm all about.
Aligned action. Awesome. And so, tell me how you got started. When did you get started in real estate?
I was 21 when I got my license. Wow. And I always knew that I wanted to be a realtor. When I was 10 years old, my family went through the process of buying a house and selling a house. I, for whatever reason, just got obsessed with real estate. And I told everybody, when I grew up, I'm going to be a realtor. So,
oh my God, I love that.
Your average story or your average job that someone wants as a 10-year-old. But I just absolutely loved it. And I ended up going to college doing like the regular, society, this is the steps that you take in life. Yeah. Went to college and like kind of forgot about real estate. And I ended up having this very divine intervention moment where just this really fluke thing happened that maybe so I couldn't go forward in my master's program. And I said, okay, I am taking this as a sign that I am going to quit. I'm going to get my license. I'm going to quit school. I'm going to get my license, real estate license, and go from there. So when I did it, I told my parents, like, I think I'm going to go get my real estate license. And I was actually surprised how they responded. They were like, okay, we've been waiting for you to do this. Like,
really? That's amazing. Because I think a lot of the times, what do most people hear? Oh, that's a hard job, and to be honest, like, we all carry that story sometimes in our head. So to have such support is absolutely amazing. That's wonderful. Where are you located physically?
I'm in Minnesota.
Okay. So in Minnesota, your parents are like, go do this, Becca. This is amazing.
Yeah.
Oh, that's wonderful. Okay. What were you getting your master's degree in?
I was going for, I changed my major a million times. It shows you right there. Like, I had no idea what I was doing because what I wanted to do was real estate, but I thought, well, you gotta go to college, get a degree.
Right.
So, I was going for occupational therapy.
Oh, okay.
And
wow, really different.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There was a program where you could take less than the full 2 years of master's. You could just put it in with your 4 year kind of thing. And what ended up happening was I applied, but the lady who told me to apply gave me the wrong application. So I did everything that the application said, and then I never heard back. And I called and was like, what happened? And the lady was like, oh my gosh, that was my first day. And I remember you, and I'm sorry I gave you the wrong stuff, but now the master's program is filled. And it was devastating. And then I was like, okay, this is it.
Pivoted.
I'm following the dream. And we are getting the real estate license. I ended up going back to college and like finishing my degree and everything. But yeah, I absolutely love real estate. I first started at a very small brokerage because I thought, okay, there's no fees, there's nothing. And this broker says that he's going to mentor me because I'm young and have no habits or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, this is good. So I ended up getting no support there. And within a few months, I decided to switch and someone else hired me to be on their team, like a bigger agent.
Okay. And
after that, they also didn't really use me. So I'm like, I got to switch again. And so within the first 6 months of my career, I guess, of having my real estate license, I wasn't doing anything. I was just like brokerage hopping, trying to figure out where I could find support. And I finally found a brokerage, got connected with an agent, and became a buyer's agent on a team for 2.5 years.
Okay. Okay, great. So, you know, and I've been at 7 brokerages, so I can tell you that I'm going to do a podcast about brokerages and how to choose one. I don't know. You know, I think you learned it's not the brokerage. It somewhat is because it has to have energetically aligned to you, but it's also the people that you're choosing to work with and mentor with and that vibe that, you know, ultimately attracts your tribe. Right. So you're a buyer's agent for 2 years. That's great. I think that's a great way for a lot of agents to start and to learn. And like, because I don't know what it is like in Minnesota, here in California, you take your test and you're completely unprepared to sell real estate. They didn't tell you, you have to go find people and they don't teach you the contract. They don't teach you anything here. It's just like, okay, you're licensed. Bye-bye. And so taking that time to find a really good fit to learn under somebody, whether it's being a buyer's agent or just finding a good mentor or a good coaching program, is I think really important. So after you were doing that, what did you like about it? What didn't you like about it?
I absolutely loved doing the real estate and being able to have a lot of leads come to me as a buyer's agent. The team really did provide me with a lot of support in the leads side of things, but actually the team became pretty toxic. Mm. It got to the point where I was just like, I have to leave, but I don't know if I can trust myself to actually get business. So I kept putting off leaving, even though I hated being a part of the team. And they really wanted me to be in the office 9 to 5. But then of course, as a buyer's agent, you're working 5 to 9 and working the weekends. So I was working all the time and guess what I was making? I was making maybe $1,000 a paycheck. My largest paycheck that I ever saw, I think was like $2,000 or something. So I'm doing business and it was great for me to learn. I'm so grateful for all of that hands-on experience. But it came to the point where I started traveling and falling in love with traveling. And I really wanted to create more freedom. And with that, the team actually fired me. They let me go.
That was divine. That was divine for you. So that's awesome that helped, that kind of probably pushed you in that direction. And then what I heard you say is, you know, you were just nervous about finding business on your own without the team. And I think that's a lot of reasons why people go to teams. That's why I've gone in and out of teams for a long time. And I do find that when the team starts or when I start, it very quickly morphs into something else. And it's just the way the team does, whether it's growing, whether there's money, whether there's less than, and maybe there's lack and just something morphs in that. We're all humans and it's not always what it looked like. And what's your average price point there?
Oh, it's a lot different than San Diego. I mean, before all of this big boom and everything, average price point was like 250. And now we're still looking at like low threes. So
yeah. So even here on the last team I was on, our average price point is like $1 million. I was only making $3,000 after all the splits, even here. Yeah.
That and that ratio is even more intense than
it's
mine.
Great. And then so then you're really hustling and you're running around. You feel like a crazy person and you don't have time to even think about your ideal client because you just got to take it, right? Because it's really expensive to live here. I can't live on $3,000 a month. Right. And so we've got to be hustling all the time when we're on the team. And yeah, I think it's a good way to get started. So let's talk about you get fired, you're traveling. What happens next in your life?
So I actually struggled for like a year. Mm. I
love that vulnerability and honesty. Yeah.
Totally struggled. Like I had very little in the pipeline to almost nothing. Like right. I don't remember exactly how many deals. I should go back and look, but it was a very small amount and not enough to support the bills that I had to pay and everything. And like, I remember my bank account being like, you know, $100 and that's all I have. And I was trying so hard to find all of the things. I was listening to, like you said, I was listening to the podcasts of these big lofty people that it's great, but I'm here where I can hardly even figure out how to make $3,000. I wasn't making anything.
Yeah.
I went through a period where I was really struggling and I was trying to do all of the things that real estate tells you to do, that the industry and the big gurus and everything tell you to do. And first of all, I hated it. I hated every second that I was doing it. And then I also just wasn't getting the results. So this is when I started to shift and say, I'm either getting a 9-to-5 job. And yep. I started applying for part-time positions because I just need some income.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I either have to get a 9-to-5 job or I got to figure this out. And this is what I want to do. This is my dream job. So we're going to figure it out.
You got to figure it out. We're going to figure it out. And, you know, to be honest, it's a weird market right now. I always look in the background of like, what could I do other than this? And they just won't pay me enough. And I'd have to sit there at a desk. Like, how awful does that sound? Right. That sounds awful. That's like soul sucking. Right. Yes. So, what was your next step into? So you have a rich and referred membership. You have a manifestation, alignment coaching for real estate agents. And so what were your kind of thought processes of like, okay, I have to make this work. Where do I go? Like, how do I do? I don't like this traditional. Let's talk about the traditional. We're talking about what, like cold calling, door knocking, right?
I did it. Like trying to do the farming, trying to even pay for really expensive lead programs and things like that.
Yeah.
So, I mean, all of it, I was trying of the traditional stuff. And I kept coming back to this idea of like the first time I got a referral, man, it felt amazing. It was,
it's like a totally different.
They come to you and they're like, hey, I am ready and I want to work with you. There's like no questions asked. They already like, know, and trust you. And I kept thinking about that experience and how I wanted to create that. And if I really am going to stay in real estate, I got to try to do this myself. But I had thought about starting to be a referral-based agent before, but of course, every agent that I'm talking to try to get some advice or even podcasts I was listening to, they were all saying, you have to be in business for 5 to 7 years, have that buildup of client base, have people knowing that you're a realtor and seeing that you're a long time, and then you can start to build the referrals. Or they would say, you know, it's not as steady of an income as, you know, knowing exactly.
I would say that is probably where I am even. So like I'm going through your program because I'm successful. I do really well. I help some other newer agents. That's where I kind of coach in some mindset and getting just some smaller systems set up like a CRM. And when we look at like, okay, how do we create a steady flow of referrals? I think that's the big thing because I'll hear agents say, I'm a referral-based agent. But then if I go, well, how many deals did you do? It's really not that many, or it's not that consistent. Exactly. And the other things that, you know, maybe we can dive into today is, you know, how do you generate those referrals if you're doing the stuff? And then like, cause that's kind of where I am, right? It's It's I'm doing the mailers, I'm doing events, I'm doing these things, and like they're not quite coming. So like there's definitely, whether it's an energetic piece for me, right? So let's dive into, you wanted to be a referral agent, you're hearing you had to be doing this for 5 to 7 years. Obviously you hadn't been doing it that way, but you knew that this was possible. So I love that. It started with that. This has got to be possible. Let me figure this out.
And it's the way that I wanted to do business. So I was doing all the things I didn't want to do, but thought, well, maybe this is how I get business. Thankfully I wasn't getting business that way, because then I was able to pivot in the way that, okay, if I want to do it and I want to and actually enjoy my business, what would that look like? So I dreamed up, what would that look like?
Yeah.
And yeah. I decided I wanted to become a referral-based agent. And this is also where the manifestation piece comes into play for me. All throughout my life, I have loved manifesting. I have lived it, but then I only found that, you know, the actual term and all about it probably when I was 16 or so in high school. And I finally said, oh, like, this is what I do. Like, this is, I get this. I get the energy. I get the visioning. I get everything. And I was doing it in every single area. And in my life, like, things have lined up so magically for me always. And in real estate, it was feeling so hard. And I had lost the magic. Like, I forgot about the magic.
Yeah. And
then when I was at this rock bottom place, I decided to shift and say, here, this is how I want to do it. And this is exactly how I'm going to bring manifestation into it as well. I'm finally aligning. I'm finally bringing the energy into it. And I'm finally like, this is what I want to create. Now let's do it.
Yeah. So I love that, because when I came to real estate, I owned a yoga studio. And then I realized, ooh, like, okay, real estate people are all into self-development, but I went quote unquote straight. Like, I was like, okay, this has got to be real estate. I got to put a suit on and, you know, all that weird stuff. And then over the last few years, really, I pivoted to more, I'm a holistic real estate agent, because those are my ideal clients. That's who I want to work with. And I'm like, hey, wait, we can actually use manifestation in real estate. And then I found you and I was like, see, that was almost a validation, right? For me, it was like, oh, look, somebody else is doing it too. So I love that you brought that into it. So how did you start to work with that to build this referral-based business?
So the whole, like, I wrote down and I got so clear on what I actually wanted. Mm. And even though when I was writing it down, it seemed so out there. It seemed like, no way is this even possible.
Ooh,
but
if
I'm going to be honest, I'm going to write down truly what I desire. And so that's where the manifestation piece comes into play. And for me, I wanted that referral based, having that be my main source of income, my main source of clients coming in. And I started playing around with that, with the energy, but I also started saying, okay, if it were me and I'm on the other side, what would make me want to continue to work with an agent, or what would make me want to give them all of my business? And so I started to think about that, and I started to just do those things and test them out.
That's really smart.
So I'm going to test, you know, how am I doing my events, or how am I following up with them? A lot of the people, when they're talking about getting referrals, they say, call your sphere every 3 months.
Yeah. And I'm like, that's right now. I'm working with a coach, and you and I have talked about coaching together as well. And I love him, but right now my conversation is, you have to call people and tell them that you need a favor. Who do you know is going to buy or sell? And it just, yeah. It so doesn't align with who I am.
So icky.
It's
much
really
love to that coach, but
yeah, much love to it. Right. But, and here's the deal. Like, I do think whenever you're going to work with a coach, you give them 3 months, you see if it's going. Don't ever sign a contract with coaching. Because just have that conversation. Let's try this for 3 months. So that's kind of where I'm at right now, and I'm testing it, and it's interesting. Not a referral has come from it. So, you know, I'm checking and watching.
Think about it, right? If someone called you, let's say it's not a realtor, let's say it's somebody else, maybe it's a lender, maybe it's someone who sells cars, or like right. somebody you've worked with in the past, and they call you, you see their name on the phone, and you're thinking, why are they calling me? And if you do answer, if you don't let it go to voicemail, and you do yeah. answer, and they say, hey, how's it going? And they try to build like some kind of fake rapport. I mean, you know, they're trying,
yeah. but yeah.
essentially it's kind of fake. And then they ask you for a referral, and you're just like,
yeah.
I got on the phone for this. I answered this. I don't yeah. know. I just think for some people that does align, for some of their clients that does align. But for me, that gives me the ick. Like, I hate answering the phone.
So, right. I hate
answering the phone. I don't want to have to answer it on something yeah. like that. So that's what I thought about. I'm not going to call my people because I don't like to answer the phone. I don't want to get phone calls. And I also don't like to be asked for things. If I actually like you, if I genuinely think that you have done an amazing job.
Yeah.
If you continue to stay like top of mind, if you continue to stay in front of me in a value-based way and a real connection is formed,
yeah.
I will be so loyal to you and give you all of my people, everybody. I don't even care if they tell me they're buying and selling. I'm going to talk about you and say, my agent is so cool because yeah. this, this, and this.
Right,
and
right.
that's what I would much rather have than just your standard, I'm a realtor. Can you work with me? I even think right. about lenders that I absolutely love and I trust, and I think they're amazing. The minute they ask me for a referral, I'm like, I get the ick. Like, I'm just like,
yeah. And I'm so as in my head, my lender that I work with, I'm very loyal. And the reason why is because he gives me value in the form of coaching, support, financial support, doing events, checking in with me, building that relationship, never asking me for a referral. Yes. Right. So,
so much better, right? It feels like a real relationship and not just that they're looking for your referrals.
So let's talk about that then. So what I just wrote down, top three referral ways. So I'm working through some of your stuff. So I know you definitely do events as a way to stay in contact. How, what are some ways that you could just, it doesn't, we can dive, you, people can contact you. They'll have all the information to learn more. But if you're going to look at like, okay, let's build a value-based relationship. What are just a couple of like tips you could give somebody?
Mm-hmm. So it's staying authentic and genuine to who you are and creating those genuine relationships. So I don't necessarily say there's these three things and that's it. Mm-hmm. I want to look at what does this person align with for them. So some people, like big events are not going to be their thing. So maybe micro events or, you know, other things are going to be different. So I talk about my money-making activities, and this is something that I work with like my students a lot, is find out what your unique money-making activities are that are aligned with you. And so that's going to be based off of your strength, what you enjoy, and then how you can put that together to get business. Now, with all of that being said, the best way to stay in contact and have those genuine relationships to really continue is face-to-face contact.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
And not in a forced way, like that can be valuable and genuine.
Yeah. So when you were starting this, you wrote down all of your big goals. How did you discover what your unique, cause I just wrote that down to you, my unique money making ways. And I'm sure somebody listening to that is like, okay, well, what, I don't know what that is. Obviously we can follow you, but like for you, how did you discover that? What were like, how did you come? Yeah. How'd you get clear?
So I looked at what would I actually want to do? So that's why the breakdown is it's your strength, what you enjoy, and then putting it together, you know, in a way to get business. So for me, if I don't enjoy something, and this is probably universal, if I don't enjoy something, it's not going to be sustainable for me. I'm going to avoid it.
Right.
So yeah, you want to do something that you enjoy. And I also think it's important to choose your strength, because if your goal is, you know, at a certain level, and you're, if you're trying to choose something that you think will be good, but it's maybe not your forte, you're starting at a disadvantage versus something that is your strength. So maybe your strength is networking. Start working that network. If it's not networking, don't put yourself in that position to network just because it worked for somebody else.
Right. Yeah. So like for me, you know, I don't mind cold calling if I have, like, I have a client looking for a particular property in a particular area. Yep. But if that's on my systems every week, because I need to cold call prospecting, that it's on my calendar. It just never happens. Yeah, right.
Exactly.
Meanwhile, I host a wine, women, and wellness event, which we had last night. I host it every month. You know, it's awesome. We have a speaker. I feel energized after it. I feel aligned. I feel connected. So that feels good to me. Right. Yes,
like that I would say is a great money-making activity that speaks to who you are, and it's going to speak to your ideal clients too.
Yes. Yes. Okay. Perfect. Perfect. So you started putting all of this into play. You started identifying your money-making activities, and then kind of walk us through kind of what happened next.
Yeah. So, okay. On my list of things that I'm writing down, I wrote, I want to work 20 hours or less each week. And before I was working 40 plus for sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I said, I wanted to travel 12 plus times out of the year. I wanted to go to Europe once a year. I wanted to make six figures, which at the time, the most I had made was like, I don't know, like 30,000 or something.
Right. Right.
So
yeah.
It seemed like a really lofty goal. And I looked back a year later and all of those things happened.
That's so amazing.
And I wanted to become a referral-based agent was also on there. So it's crazy. And I actually ended up working way less than 20 hours each week. It's like, I'm doing, you know, 10 hours or less each week, but having that clarity was so huge for me, even though at the time I didn't necessarily believe that that could be my reality in a year, but I was really clear on what I wanted. And so I started to create my business in a way that all of that could be possible.
I love that. And so for you, what were some of the key money-making activities that worked for you?
Mm-hmm. So for me, it was definitely events. I loved having not huge events, but events with like probably 20 to 50 people and having it be something really fun. So to give you an example that I love the spa. And I just love the spa, and I love like having that type of self-care. And of course I love manifestation and everything. So I had a salt cave ladies event.
Oh,
it was really different. I found a salt cave in the city, and I had one of my really good friends who was a yoga teacher. She like led yoga in the salt caves. And then there was another like relaxation. I had a massage person there. I had like little champagne and fruit and stuff. And so that's something that I wanted to do. I was excited to do. And it's something I absolutely would love to come to. And so when I'm inviting people, it's unique. It is something that's fun. I didn't ask for referrals when they're coming. So it's literally just for them to come and to connect. So having that is just like those fun events for me was really cool. And I also love doing reverse pop buys. I like pop buys too, but it's kind of like you can be going all over the place.
What's a reverse pop buy?
A reverse pop buy is when you have something of value, which you may give at the pop buy, but instead they're coming to you. So you say, I'm going to be here. Maybe it's your office from 12 to 2 handing out Thanksgiving pies.
Sure. Sure.
And so they're coming to you and they're picking it up. So that's why it's also important to have something that they actually would want to come pick up.
Right.
So it doesn't have to be a whole big thing, but you can chat for a little bit. You have that face-to-face connection and it's a great way to just continue to stay connected. So I love doing those. And then also just continuing to bring value to them throughout the year. So I have a couple, you know, I do those multiple times and then I send, handwritten note cards as well, which I,
I love that. So, when you are hosting these events, who is this money that you've budgeted to do this? Do you have sponsors that come and help you?
Sometimes sponsors, sometimes on my own. If you think about, if you're at a place right now where you're not spending any money on marketing, then you may have to spend a little bit, but it doesn't have to be over $100. Like, you could do different types of events for $100. If you're already spending money on leads and stuff like that, let's take that money, cut it in half, because usually leads cost like $1,000 a month or something like that.
Yeah.
And so for people that are doing that, you can take that, cut it in half, and do a really nice event too. So it's just really cool to be able to see how that can translate. But you can also bring sponsors in as well, where people are going half and half or whatever with you too.
Yeah, absolutely. That's so cool. I'm actually typing in Salt Cave near me, because I want to go.
Oh yeah, exactly.
It's so fun. That's so cool. Okay. Yeah. So that is so awesome. So I love all of this. So this is something I talk about a lot, is when you become a real estate agent, or if you're just reevaluating your business, like, I actually love doing open houses. There are some agents who freaking hate it, but they do it. It, like, really taking that time to step back and be like, I like doing this, and this is enjoyable for me. I did a neighbors only open house. I door knocked it because it was a fun neighborhood, and we had wine, and it was fun. So that was good. If I just went and door knocking things, you know, I could probably farm a neighborhood. That I live in the country, so it's like, I live on an acre and we don't have neighbors too near us. But like, if somebody wanted to farm an area, but they really liked it and they wanted to have an ice cream social, but they really did it, and it was coming from that place of passion instead of that place of, I have to.
Exactly that.
Yes.
Exactly.
I think that's the big takeaway from this episode, is really getting aligned. First of all, I talk about this all the time, is really writing down what you want. And I really love that you said, get big, hairy goals on there that you think are like crazy if you're looking at them, because why not? Right? Why not? What's the word? Who's going to even read this? Like, it's just you.
Yes.
And that finding what really feels good in your soul and really feels good and lights you up and gets you excited when you're going out to do it, because then it's sustainable and it's consistent and you enjoy it. And that feeds off each other. Then people are excited to see you. They're wanting to connect with you.
It will reflect back to you. I mean, you know, your clients can feel that energy. And also, chances are, if it feels ick to you, it's feeling ick to them. If it's feeling really good, really fun, all of that to you, they are also going to feel that way as well. So being able to be that person that they come to, they can trust, and they know that you're genuine and like also a friend, is really important to me. And, you know, so they say that the average person actually knows 3 to 5 people that are moving, buying, selling, whatever.
Yeah.
Each year.
I just heard that.
Yeah. So if you like, when you think about that, if you actually had the real connection with people, not if you ask them for the referral, because maybe when you're asking them for the referral, they're not keeping you in mind. There may be, you maybe reach them on a lucky day where they're like, you know what? Yesterday, I just talked to somebody who is thinking about selling.
Right.
But if you're calling and doing that, they're not keeping that top of mind. Like, they're going to let that go, whatever. But if you are in their heart, essentially, like they really love you and you have gone above and beyond for them, then it's going to be easy to start getting a consistent flow of clients, like actually consistent, and you're able to rely on just referrals as your income.
I absolutely love this. And I think that this is, you know, when I, it's so funny because you'll hear one set of people and they're like the coaches or realtors, and they're like, go do this. And then you're like, well, okay, that's, everybody's telling me to do this. So it's nice to hear other people have these conversations of like, hey, this does work. And hey, if you come from the heart, it does work. If you are authentic, if you are like really identifying your ideal client, like mine is, I'm very clear who I like to work with, and it works so much better for all of us as well. Becca, where can people find you?
at Commission Queen on just about everything. And then podcast is Manifesting in Real Estate.
I listen. It's a really good podcast. I love listening to it. And you guys, I'm actually doing her Rich and Referred membership course right now. And it is really great. For me, it is just really solidifying that it's okay to feel good. It's okay to run a business that you feel good about. And that things will manifest and come true from that. Thank you so much for being here. I'm going to make sure to put all of your information and I really appreciate your time. And it's been a real pleasure getting to know you.
Yes. Thank you, Tristan.
Yeah, you're welcome. I'm going to hit my stop recording. That's awesome.